All right, brethren, we have come to finally approach the tabernacle. I'd like to just go back for a moment and review. When God created man, he created man to contain him and to express him. Now, you've heard that before. So the next time, I'm going to let you tell me what God created man for. But he created him to express God corporately. There is not anyone in here who can express all of God. There is no way for the richness and the fullness of God to be expressed by his creation unless it is expressed corporately. So God has a corporate man to express him. But brothers, I don't really feel that we have seen this until we have fully understood that God also wanted man to subdue the earth. The corporate man, wherever he is to subdue the earth. Now, the best way I can explain this is that there is a battle going on this earth right now between not God and Satan, but man and Satan. You don't realize how much higher God considers man than man considers his own self. We have really been tricked by Satan because we think individually, and we see the great limitation of the individual man, but we don't see the great power of the corporate man. And there is a battle of the corporate man versus Satan for this earth. And the satanic force has under the control of the old man, the earth. But God wants the corporate man, the new man, to subdue the earth by expressing Christ and by having the power and the authority of God on this earth. Now, don't you think that this is a small thing? This is the very thing that Jesus Christ said when he gave what has been called the Great Commission. He said, "Go ye and preach the gospel, and I will do what? And you shall receive what? You shall receive authority. You shall receive authority." He said, "I will be with you. You shall receive power, you shall receive authority, and I will be with you. I will be there with you in your midst, and you will have my authority." Now, brother, when Jesus Christ began the age of the church, he began the real, not the pictorial, but the real expression and the authority. But this has been a battle that has been fought back and forth to the ages by the man, the old man, and the new man, and we will better say by Satan and God's man, the new man. But brethren, be at peace. The new man cannot be defeated. In order to really understand this, you have got to have the mountaintop view. And brothers, one of these days, you are going to see the mountaintop view in all its fullness, and that's going to be the end of our ups and downs. Brothers, we've got one day to come in full experience to the mountaintop view. Right now, God, new man, when he takes the stand, and he is built together as a corporate expression on this earth. Satan cannot have authority or power over him. Brother, the new man has the image and the representation of God upon the earth. The best illustration of this that I know of is right now, Biafra. You know the situation in Nigeria. The Nigerian government cannot claim a full authority over that land because there are others who say we are the rightful owner. Another situation is this. In Vietnam, do you realize that there is not one capital city that North Vietnam holds? Not one. They would try over and over and over to gain just any one capital city. If they can ever gain a capital city, they will shame the South Vietnam government. You cannot claim authority over everything. Brothers and sisters, as long as there are a group of people in a city who claim that territory, that piece of real estate for Jesus Christ, no matter what Satan claims, he knows he has lost the clear title to that town. And when he has lost clear title to it, we have taken that land and God has begun his building, and we shall not be just a building, but we shall be a temple in the city. And before this week's out, brothers, we shall see that God will have us be much, much more. Brothers, we are a clubfoot man claiming the earth for God. There is in the scripture something so clear that we have not been able to see it. I want to give you just two or three secrets. Can you remember that? Two or three little tickets. The psalm or the written expression in the word of God of this. If you think this is just something somebody thought up and got a few obscure passages together, brother, you just haven't really seen the word of God open up. The word earth, if I'm not mistaken, appears in the Psalm 109 times. And in each time, the psalmist is either saying, Lord, get it back, or Lord, you're getting it. But usually, praise God, the psalmist has the mountains here. And brothers, we really need to see the psalm. They got the mountain view. They say, O earth, rejoice in the Lord thy Lord. Over and over and over, we see the psalmist singing praises for man having the earth, taking it back, and having it for the Lord's habitation. You go back and read the psalm again. That's one kick.
Here's tip number two.
Zion. You ready for this, brothers? I'm going to tell you a secret. And if you'll go to the Word of God, this will just open so much to you. Zion is the church. Zion is the church when it has city. When the city is the Lord, it's Zion. Zion is the church in the city, having fully taken it. And brother, the city is the church. You go back now and reread and see how many times the city and the Zion are missions, and relate that to the tabernacle and the temple. And all of a sudden, the Psalms was just open to you. The Psalm is a New Testament book. The Psalms are new. How you say that? The Psalms is a New Testament book. The Psalms are a New Testament book. They belong in the New Testament. For they have really seen, especially the Psalms toward the end, they have really seen what God is doing. Now, brothers and sisters, there is no question in my mind that right now, at this moment, God is coming. I'm not going to predict that this is the end of the age. That's not proper for men to do. But I will tell you this. It's been 1900 years since the Jews had Jerusalem.
Until 1948.
And it's only been about 13 months that they've had the temple area.
Yeah.
And That's something to look at least. But that's not the main thing to look at. Do you know the main thing to look at? What is God doing in the church? Praise the Lord. All over this country. All over the country, the report keep coming in. Every convenience square.
I defy that it are that people are getting this car.
Whenever I hear that, I say hallelujah. Because when you get hungry, you start looking for something. And then you get thirsty, you start looking for something. You might even go outside your little camp to do it if you get hungry. And the Lord Jesus Christ has put his hunger in the heart of his people. And right now in denominationalism, there is what they are calling renewal. Brother, you're not gonna renew a dead news. You can do anything you want to. I have said this before. You take that little car out there, that little Volkswagen got 50 horsepower engine. And brother,
there is one thing about it. Is it got square wheel? You can put a motor in the butt with 300 horsepower,
and you can put a motor in the back with 600 horsepower, and you will can even tie a rocket to it, brother. And you can polish it, and you can shine it, and do anything you want to. You can light the rocket. You can run the motor. That thing's not going to roll. Square wheel will not roll. And I challenge the very basic concept of revival. There ain't no such animal. You cannot revive a situation. All you can do is temporarily resuscitate it. And it will just die a day. That's all you can do. You cannot take something that is basically just not fit and make it something it isn't. You cannot have the Lord's headship where man's headship is. You cannot take the old man and make him act like the new man. The whole, it's not the children of God, it is the structure of the concept therein. And God today is building once more his church upon this earth. But brother, it is going to take the full cooperation of his children. It is going, the Lord is appealing to young people. He always has, always will. But brothers, I want you to know that what God had called you to is no light. And if you think this is going to be all hip, hip, lay in a day or a week or a month or a year, you have really not seen that we are inheritors of all of the past recovery and that we are to be children, or I should say students, of all the past mistakes. And that we have got to walk humbly for the Lord and give ourselves to him that he might in this day work fully in us. Brother, this is a serious matter. But I say to you that God is constantly recovering, and I cannot deny the sense within me. I have seen the weak work in this country. And we have known it got the death knell on it. It even has the smell of death to it.
I do not know a single place in America where people are optimistic about present-day Christianity. Nobody.
Aye. Brothers, I have seen the work in the Far East, and I say to you, if there were no other word or honorable that, it is so sad. It is so sad. I will deny it now. I have seen the work on this country up until this day, and it is absolutely
everywhere. I have been dying to stop. It is so wonderful. These are the most precious brothers and sisters. But brother, now here you are. And sister, here you are. And God has sovereignly got you in the mix you're in. You are sovereignly in this situation. Oh, but now, brother. Now come
the call.
Now come
the serious matter. Now we can no longer be young people in college. Our God has called us to restore. He has called us to restore. I read something so sweet the other night, it just blessed me. You know, David got run out of town by Saul. Do you remember that? Saul just couldn't stand it. Saul had killed his thousand. David had killed two or three too. And Saul couldn't take it, and this friction came between them. And, Saul got pricked out of town. I mean, David got pricked out of town. And do you know who joined themselves to him?
Saul buried with my hair done?
No, Jonathan buried with his father. Well, I'm not thinking of a person. Oh, praise the Lord, huh? Yeah, it said the people who were in trouble with the law and the people who were in debt and those who were dissatisfied joined themselves to David and acted. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This is the same kind of people that joined themselves to the Lord Jesus. You know, they were just ordinary folk. They didn't look like much. Brothers, we don't look like much. Who in here is impressed? And we are not, and we never hear old baby. Anything. But sovereignly, do you know what happened to David? Bitters and gripers and complainers and the new left and all this that there were. Do you know what came of them as God built them together?
Yes, but just more than an armor. They kept your...
Yeah, but more than that even, brother. You know what they were... Well, praise the Lord, there's nothing more than that. But
they became David mighty men of valor for the taking of the rest of the land that Saul had not taken. Aren't it to pray for the Lord for that? That the Lord takes the dropout. The Lord takes the... Just like he took Peter and James and John, don't you think those guys weren't so dissatisfied with Judaism? I can just see them scoffing at the temple. I think it was the love for the Lord. They were wanting to see God's kingdom come in, and come in light, and come in precious. And they were disgusted with the system. And they didn't want anything to do with any of that. But they were just typical misfit.
Like, God turned them into the children for a job. I don't know who the people are going to be in our land.
I cannot say what God will do, but I sent his work, brethren,
and I believe that you too sent his call to the church. And now, brethren, we have come to the business of the building of the church. Tonight, we have got to look at the scene of the tabernacle. My brother, I don't know what you did this afternoon, but I want to plant my feet firmly here and say to you, what I said to you this morning, I did not say lightly. We cannot go on and shame the Lord. We just can't. We have got to wholly, completely offer ourselves on the outer altar of that. We have got to come and be utterly exposed at the labor. And there has got to be a boundary line around this precious temple of God that only separates it from the world. Now then, we come to this building. Brothers, here it is. We're going to be here 2 or 3 days. This is precious. By the way, please be here in the morning if you possibly can. I really feel that tomorrow morning is so important in what we're looking at tonight. These two agree with one another. All right, we are now getting inside. What is the first thing that happens when you come inside the court and you approach and you begin to move inside the temple, the tabernacle? I keep saying temple, I mean tabernacle. Now that... For the tabernacle, that's right there at the outside to get in.
to come into the tabernacle itself.
All right, brethren.
Well, we're past the
altar. Yeah, we're past the altar, the outer altar bunk. Okay, listen. Coming into the tabernacle is a table. It is made of acacia wood, and it is overlaid with gold. Now then, the table is within the holy place, and you come into the holy place, and there to one side of the holy place is a table. The table is 2 by 1 by 1.5, and that's, I think, the measurements I gave you this afternoon, which I was not correct about. All right. It has a beautiful, it is a gold overlaying acacia wood. Now, brothers, acacia wood is a fine, hard, strong, sturdy wood. And wood, throughout the scripture, almost virtually without exception, you can be sure, wood always speak of humanity. But it has been overlaid with gold, which always is speaking of the divine nature of God. You see, gold is pure. It is an element. It is not only an element, but it is one of the unique of all elements, in that no matter whether it's cold or hot, whether it slices, no matter what you do to it, its appearance never changes. You cannot change the character of gold. It is always a picture of God's nature. Now, brothers and sisters, up until we got to the tabernacle, we have seen no gold. We have only seen brass. And I said this morning to you that the tabernacle comes out of brass. It's not brass, but it comes out of brass. And you have got to go through brass before the tabernacle can be built up. Yes, sister, you've got to go through the judgment of God in order to get into the building of God. You have got to be judged. Praise the Lord, sister. We began in Genesis 1 and 2 with three of the ingredients quickly. What are they? What's the first one? Gold. What's the second one? Didelium. What's the third one? Onyx stone. Aye. Did someone look up didelium? No one did. You said you were going to. Aye. Didelium is one of two things. It either is pearl or it is a, and I don't have to pronounce this word, I want to say rosin, but I don't think you say that. Resin. Okay, thank you. That's what it's called out here. Resin on the West Coast. Okay. Now, brother, there was no question. It is pearl. But if there's any doubt, I would say to you, the principle is basically the same. For the pearl, there has to be the oyster winged. And then the oyster secretes something of its life around the wound, the sand, and gradually there is built up a pearl. Now, this is the work of Christ in crucifixion that has nothing to do with redemption. This is Christ taking something out of the wound of himself and having his life to build up something new that is out of his own existence that comes to the wound then. Now then, you have in resin the same thing. There is the tree that is winged, and out of it pours the light, and it is something very sweet and tasted. There is something that pours out of the wound. Now then, brothers, and I just wonder if you know, when we come into the temple, and when we come into the tabernacle, is pearl ever mentioned?
Is it?
There is no pearl. Now, there's a pearl in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and there's a pearl in Revelation 21 and 22. But all the other places, it is gold and silver and stone.
Now then, somebody in here by now had to figure out why. That's just so clear. Why, brother? Where?
Well,
no, the study.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. Maybe I'm the builder.
Forget the film.
Carlton?
All right. After the fall, it filter.
What a be?
It's not pearl after the fall, brother. After the fall, it is always, silver is always redemption. That which was the pearl now has to redeem. We see the Father in the gold. We see the Son in the pearl. We see the Holy Spirit in the stone. The New Testament tells us who works on the stone. It's the Holy Spirit. But the work of the Son was to transmit life to man. That was the work of the Son. And he was crucified before the foundation of the ages that he might impart to you his life, that he might express his image and has his authority. But who not only had to be the life giver, he also had to condescend to be the redeemer. So he gave up the position of pearl to give life, and he became the silver to redeem us. And from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 19, you have the gold, the silver, and the stone. But brother, when Satan is cast into the pit, there is no more silver. Redemption is something in time. It has the beginning and it has an end. But God's work of making man have the life of God was his eternal purpose. And he ends when he has put an end to Satan. Brother, Jesus Christ is one of man. And sister, that's the pearl of great price. That is what Jesus Christ has produced out of his life. Do you know what the pearl of great price is? It's the corporate man. It's the universal church. And when you say it, you sell everything that you might have in the pearl. Thank you, pray for. All right. We come now.
Here is gold overlaying strong acacia wood, solid, good, firm wood. There is God's desire to make humanity ugly humanity, the humanity of Christ.
And then, brother, there is now the overlaying of the gold on the table. And around the table, there is a border. We come into the tabernacle. Brothers, all of this is a picture. Will you please remember that this is not the tabernacle I'm talking about? Be very clear. I am not talking about the tabernacle. I am talking about something that is in the way of being.
I mean, when I say the way, I don't mean it's an obstacle. I mean, it's part of the going into, it's the process of going into, it's on the way of entering into the tabernacle.
The first thing that you come to is a table of wood overlaid with gold. And upon the table, it what?
On the table is what?
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. It's the Kilbring. It is laying there on the golden table. It's the bread. Oh, brother, this is so significant. God has something to impart to you. And the first picture, the first illustration that he gives the kindest into the tabernacle, the first cut of the building of God, is a golden table, and on it is the bread. And brethren and sisters, it's go breads. It's bread on go. And when the priest of God or the people of God, let us just say the priest of God, come into the tabernacle, the first thing they do is they go over. The first thing you do is you go over and you eat bread. You have to partake of the bread. And the bread is a picture to us of how we might be at that table meal. Brother, right now we are as Adam, dust, formed into clay. But God wants to put gold into you. He wants to overlay your humanity with gold. And brother, in order to have the tabernacle, but more than the tabernacle, in order to be built in the building, you have got to eat the bread. I believe it's in 2 Peter. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter?
Second Peter 1.
There are so many verses in here that we think only apply in a New Testament way, but they don't at all. 2 Peter 1:4. A Jew would read this and know immediately what it meant. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and reading verse 3, excuse me, and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by thee you may learn doctrine. Man. By thee you may speak in tongues. By thee you may get a master's degree in theology. Is that what it says? By these precious promises, you may become what? Partaker. Partaker. When you were seating tonight eating, what were you doing?
You were partaking of food, and it came into you. And tomorrow it'll come out a half a pound more than you were today. You will have partaken of it, and it will have worked itself into you.
And you will have had that food come in and become a part of you. We are partakers of the divine nature. Brother David, God went to work going into you. He wants to put gold in the clay. How do you get the gold into the clay, brother? How do you mingle humanity with divinity? You come to the table and you eat the bread. You eat it. You have to come to the bread and take it.
Exceeding great and precious promises are divine life.
Brother, this is so significant. I am not talking to you about Bible study.
I am talking to you about partaking of the Lord Jesus Christ deep within you. Do you realize that you have only one mouth that can eat Christ and feed on Christ? Do you know that?
Sister,
what's your name again? Huh? Laura. All right. Sister Laura, do you know that you have a mouth to partake of Christ? To feed on crime.
Do you know it? What is that now? Do you know all? Well, I'll tell you what.
You come to the Butters in the church here, and you say, Butter, I got in here late. And I don't know how to partake on crying, of crying. And I want to learn, and you Butter have to teach me. Will you do that? All right. And you do that. You promise me you'll do that? All right.
The brothers have got to show you how to partake of crime. Sister, you cannot partake of him with your eye. You cannot partake of him with your mind. You can't partake of him with your ear. And I am sorry, but it would be so easy. You cannot even partake of him by eating something with your mouth.
Nonetheless, the Lord has given you something of a spiritual mouth to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sister, buried up deep within you
is something to see on Christ. Do you know what that is?
All right, sister, you get the brothers to tell you. All right, tell you what, let's just get one of the brothers to tell us right now. Brother, stand up there, Brother Bob. Brother Bob, tell this new sister what this is and where it is and how she does it.
He's a dirt and inside the member of the human
spirit. And what do you do? How do you surrender the human sword, man?
Yeah, no.
Well, Butter, where have you been for the last 3 minutes?
Pay the Lord, look your mouth.
Sister, you come and you eat the bread. You come to the bread and you just eat it. You don't think about it. You don't study about it. You just eat it. Sister, you come to the Word of God. And you just eat it. You don't even think about it. Or if you want to think a little bit, all right, but you're not going to get very far very quick. You just come to the Word and you just seed on it. Just take it and mortal it. Eat it. And you will fit something within you. Brothers and sisters, you have got to exercise the spiritual mouth. You have got to learn to feed on Christ and bread. I am not talking to you about knowing Christ as life. I am talking to you about a corporate building that the brothers and sisters together must come and feed on the Word. They must come and just eat it and eat it and eat it. And the more you eat it, the more there's a sense of satisfaction, and the more there's satisfaction, the more God enwrought in you gold. We're building a building of gold. You must eat the bread to be overlaid with the gold of God and the building that really shows forth God made.
Oh, brother, there is no difference. It is the bread of life that he is. But the distinction I'm making here is that it is not an individual matter for you to live by Christ.
I am speaking of the material now. That God has got to change this hunk of clay into a piece of gold, that he might put it into a builder. And he'd got to take piece of clay and turn it into and deposit something of the gold of God in it. But brother, God cannot turn clay into gold unless you feed upon his manure, upon his lice. His lice is gold. All right. Now, praise the Lord, the first thing that you do, let me make this very clear. The tabernacle is not under discussion. The building is not under discussion. The building, we shall see this very clearly, the building comes out of what's under the discussion.